From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
This year's class of 2016 was born into an era of cyberspace. They have gained political consciousness during a time when questions about this country are being hotly debated and when jobs are crossing discipline lines. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is a two-time Mr. Howard, a member of the graduating class of 2016, Garrett Williams. Welcome.
Thanks.
So you grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your childhood and the circumstances under which you grew up.
Well, I moved around quite a lot. I was born in Manassas, Virginia, lived there for a few years, lived in Durham, North Carolina for a few years, lived in Michigan for 8 years, and it was a predominantly, well, there weren't a lot of Black people represented where I grew up in high school. My sister came here before I did. She was the class of 2012 and ended up just following up in her footsteps and coming here.
What was her major?
She was a marketing major in the school of business.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was her motivation for coming to Howard?
It was really our parents. They're both products of HBCUs. My dad went to North Carolina Central University. My mom went to Clark Atlanta. And, yeah, our dad really pushed HBCUs because he realized we didn't have that type of experience growing up. And it's something we had to experience for ourselves.
Okay. So you said your dad in particular was instrumental. Your dad is a university president.
Yes, he is.
Currently at Mount St. Joseph.
Yes.
In Ohio. Tell me about the role that he felt education should play in your lives as you guys were growing up.
Well, since I was born, he's been a dean of the School of Businesses from Dell State to Grand Valley State. And yeah, it just wasn't an option. I remember when I was growing up, he would give us little incentives to stay working hard in classes. So if I got on my report cards, if I got like an A, that'd be $25 I get. If I got a B, that's 10. If I got a C, I got nothing, absolutely nothing. So it was very instrumental spiritually as well. You know how to learn in the classroom, you know how to learn in life. So yeah.
Oh, excellent. Now, once you got to Howard, you majored in mechanical engineering. What was the attraction to mechanical engineering in particular?
I was going to actually apply as a musical theater major, and my dad told me that he'd support me in whatever I did, whatever I wanted to major in, but whatever I selected, I had to make sure I could support a family on it. And so I kind of got the memo from that that mechanical engineering is more stable. And I still love engineering. I grew up playing with Legos, building ships and cars and stuff like that. So mechanical engineering just seemed like that perfect avenue.
How have you kept your interests in the theater and in the arts, vibrant while you were on campus?
I joined the Howard Players, and it's a group for non-theater majors. And then I also had a lot of friends within the musical theater department. So we'd still go to shows every now and then, make sure I go see their plays and their musicals.
Now, Howard Players has a rich history on Howard's campus.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me what it's like today, the Howard Players.
To be honest, I haven't been that active, unfortunately. I was active my freshman year, and it was still very, very, very strong. It was when I got in, I could just feel the artistic expression just oozing out of everybody, and I felt like I had to kind of raise my level of expectations and my standards so I could kind of match that.
All right. No, but back to engineering. When we look at the field of engineering, we look at technology fields, et cetera, there aren't many African Americans. And certainly, more and more, there's a lot of push around the STEM disciplines, science, technology, engineering, and math for that reason. What is your view in terms of either internships you've had an opportunity to or as you've interviewed for jobs? What's your view in terms of what the market looks like?
Well, it's definitely moving towards a lot of computer science, especially with app development. Every corporation, from Boeing to Honda, are using apps through iPhones, through Androids. And then, of course, mechanical engineers, because we kind of run the world in a sense.
So what internships, if any, did you do during your time? And then where are you heading, come this fall?
Mm. I had an internship after my freshman year with United Technologies Aerospace Systems up in Windsor Locks, Connecticut. And from there, that actually was kind of a springboard into Boeing. I worked for the Boeing company out in Seattle working on the F-22 program. Spent two summers doing that. I also had some other opportunities I ended up turning down. I had a research opportunity my freshman year at Cornell that I turned down. And then I also had some internship opportunities with Accenture and Deloitte that I ended up turning down. And when I graduate, I'll be working for the Boeing company. And my start date is June 17th, so I'm starting to kind of get ready for that transition.
Okay. June 17th is an important date around here since it's my birthday. You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Garrett Williams, Mr. Howard, class of 2016. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Let's just switch gears a bit. You were Mr. Howard for 2 years in a row. I rarely meet a double Mr. Howard. Tell me, what was your interest in getting into Mr. Howard to begin with, and why do it a second year?
Well, I wanted to become Mr. College of Engineering, Architecture, and Computer Sciences. And that was really my motivations. A lot of my friends and mentors thought I'd be good for it. So I was like, okay, cool, I'll do it. I did not realize I could be Mr. Howard University until I became Mr. CX. And I kind of went back and forth like, he just kind of stands there and doesn't really do much. He smiles and waves. But the more I kept on the Royal Court and doing programs and doing community service and fulfilling my platform, I realized that I had a knack for it. And I'm not sure if that was because of, just watching my dad growing up and my mom. But when I saw that I had a knack for it and I could do the job well, I really went hard for it. And thankfully ended up winning, not thinking that I was popular enough.
And what was your platform as you describe it?
My platform was, the name was kind of made up. It's called CIA, College Improvement and Acceleration, and it really focused on professionalism within CX, which I don't want to say lax, but it could always be better. Mm-hmm. I want to get us on par with, the School of Business almost, showing up in suits Tuesdays and Thursdays type of thing, and resume critiquing and helping people get internships like I was able to. Yeah. And then going to my second year, I did not know I was going to be Mr. Howard's second year. We had some, I won't call them issues, we had just had some unexpected circumstances come up with the Royal Court, which were pretty unfortunate. And we left it to the administration, Student Life and Activities, to kind of solve for us. And 2 weeks before I got back for my senior year, I got a call saying that I would be Mr. Howard University again. And I was just kind of thrown back. I had so many other plans with organizations, with just life in general, that I just wasn't expecting, Mm-hmm. So I had to kind of change things up. I had to kind of get ready for a second year, which thankfully came naturally, mm-hmm. Since, I had done it the year before.
Now, in terms of community service, the Royal Court at Howard University participates in a significant amount of community service. Describe to our listeners the types of activities the Royal Court is engaged in.
Mm. We have a lot of court members that do alternative spring break. I was fortunate enough to go to Ferguson, Missouri last year. We partnered with the Office of the President with the 500 for 500, mm-hmm. Empowering Men of D.C., and every other Saturday, we kind of go hang out with these elementary school boys and played with them and kind of taught with them and just spent time with them. Mm-hmm. And then from community service like campus cleanup to cleanup at Martin Luther King Memorial, it kind of stems across a giant field of service.
You are currently a member of Tau Beta Pi, which is the Engineering Honor Society. What types of advice do you have for students coming behind you in terms of applying themselves in the classroom as you have successfully, but at the same time really participating in campus life as much as they can?
It's to get involved early, but of course not too much. Freshman year is definitely a transitional period. And I was involved a good amount. I was on the baseball team, was a former captain. I strolled for Drew Hall kind of during a Res Life competition and National Society of Black Engineers. So I was trying to be involved, trying to get out there, just put myself out there and see what came of it. And yeah, that's all I have to say is just get involved. Don't be afraid to take some chances. But make sure that you get your book straight first.
Right.
Of course.
And then as you look back, what are the things that you feel made your Howard University education unique and something that, you know, if you had to do it all over again, would it be the same choice that you would make?
What made my experience unique is choosing a technical major at a liberal arts college. Engineers are taught to think critically. In every aspect of it, and we can kind of come off as not people that are not easy to get along with or not easy to talk to or maybe not the most professional and very reserved. But being at a liberal arts college, especially like Howard, and you know the culture as well as I do, that you have to be social. You have to learn how to work with people and to be socially conscious, especially in the time that we're living in right now. So I'm an engineer that got to march in Ferguson. I'm an engineer that got to march from here down to the National Mall to listen to Louis Farrakhan speak. I got to do all these amazing things that, shoot, I got to actually lobby on Capitol Hill as an engineer, something I never thought I would ever do in life. You know, it just never occurred to me. And being in D.C., being an engineer, being in a technical major at a liberal arts college really gave me a well-rounded experience that I wouldn't have gotten at any larger state school.
Right. Well, I think it's fair to say that you definitely immerse yourself in quite a few activities. Now, you mentioned earlier the baseball team.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's not one of our intercollegiate athletics programs, but talk to us a little bit about the baseball team, especially when you look at Major League Baseball, the concern about the lack of African-American baseball players today. What do you think about the state of baseball?
Well, when I was on the baseball team, I actually had an offer to go to A&T to walk onto the team. I got a nice scholarship, but I had to kind of realize that I'm probably not going to make it to the league. So I thought, hey, let's not make this criteria for choosing a university. But when I got here, I found out they did have a club baseball team, and of course, I love baseball so much. Just the rich history of it, the fact that a lot of people know about the Negro Leagues back in the day, but don't realize how, you know, integral it was. I went to the Negro League Hall of Fame in Kansas City with my father, and we saw a quote on the wall that said, "Every young black boy wanted to be a Kansas City Monarch, the same way every young white boy wanted to be a New York Yankee." Mm-hmm. And that just kind of struck with me that baseball in the African-American community was huge. And since it was the first to be, you know, integrated, you know, with Jackie Robinson and a few others, that, you know, we took most of the hit for it. And now if you look at the league, it's about 8% of players in the league and the major leagues are African-American. And it's unfortunate because baseball is not the most exciting sport, of course, but it's a sport about patience and about technique and perfection. And yeah, I guess it doesn't have the kind of beat on your chest type of culture that some other sports might have.
Right. So, any major trips before or after graduating? Any major trips you're planning on taking in the next year?
Yeah. I'm going to go up to Northern Michigan University to visit some old friends. Haven't seen them since I graduated, so that's going to be fun. And then I plan to go to Ghana with the Young Africana Leadership Initiative, YALI for short. Mm-hmm. We leave May 19th and get back the 31st. And we're going to do some cultural immersion and a little bit of research on that as well.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Garrett Williams, class of 2016. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR World on HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, glasshouseradio.com, HUR Voices Sirius XM 141, HBCU Sirius XM 142, and 96.3 WHUR Washington.